Thank you. Our topic today is fulfillment, and it's the October subject from the book that we're using as our inspiration this year, The 365 Science of Mind from Ernest Holmes. And as Ernest talks about fulfillment this month, he's talking about filling ourselves with the fullness of our being, allowing the divine nature of who we are to shine forth in the world. And that's why I asked Michael and Siobhan to sing Shine On today, because as we are radiating the light that is the truth of who we are, we feel fulfilled. We feel full and rich and powerful, and that feeling is one of the greatest joys of life. To stand in your own power, to be who you truly are, and to give what you came to give. It's just fabulous to be in that place. And so I've been, as I always do, focusing on this subject for several weeks now, and my understanding of what it means and how it works continues to evolve as I get closer to the topic. And now I've realized I'm going to do another talk on this same topic in the middle of November, so I am at another study group, so I imagine I'll have even more to say about it by then. But for now, I've been very excited about the information that's been coming to me, and I thought I was going to talk about peak experiences and what fulfillment really meant, but excuse me, personally, what happened is that I had a series of synchronicities last week. The bookstore Esoterica was going out of business last week here in Sterling. Metaphysical shop. And I went there and I saw this book by Michael Beckwith called Life Visioning. And I picked it up and I looked at it and I didn't buy it. But I thought, oh, you know, I should buy that someday and take a look at it. Well, the next day I was talking to my practitioner who said, I'm teaching a workshop on Life Visioning by Michael Beckwith, and you really ought to get that book. And so I took another trip to Esoterica that same day and went to buy the book, and the lady who owned the shop, who was sitting right next to the bookshelf, and I said, oh, I came back for this book, and she said, you know, it's only $3. It's a used book. And so I had passed up an extraordinary book that turned out to be only $3 the day before. And I thought, well, clearly it was divinely ordained for me to get this book. And I started listening to it. And one of the rules that they follow in a lot of Science of Mind churches is that the ministers have to teach the foundations class every year and re-immerse themselves in the foundations of Science of Mind. And I didn't teach the foundations class this year, but this includes a lot of the material that's in the foundations class. And it reminded me of the basics of Science of Mind and re-immersion in that space of looking at moving beyond victim consciousness. And so Reverend Michael focuses this workshop that he's doing on this little structure where he talks about movement to higher frequencies in consciousness. And he has it as a linear process and four steps. And I learned it from someone else who described it a little differently. So I'm going to go with my original description and invite you to take your pen and your pad and make a little chart that I'm going to talk about. If you make a square on your pad and you put an X from the corners of the square so that you have four quadrants in your square, at the top quadrant, right, victim for victim consciousness. And Reverend Michael points out that the majority of people are born into situations where what they learn is victim consciousness. So essentially in our human experience, we tend to inherit victim consciousness from the people who teach us around us as we're children. The left block, I put in YCYOR, which means to me, you create your own reality. And this is the tenet of metaphysical thinking and science of mind. The tagline for science of mind is change your thinking, change your life. And this is the path of the mind in spiritual nature. The right hand triangle is surrender, or let go and let God. It's the third step in Reverend Michael's linear path. And the fourth block is oneness, or the idea that I am God expressing. And science of mind encompasses all three of the paths beyond victimization. But I particularly like this design because it reminds me that you can get from any one of them to any one of them. You don't have to go through another one to get there. You can move in a moment from victimization to oneness, or victimization to the power of the mind, or victimization to surrender, which is the power of the heart. So we always can engage more of ourselves and see things from a higher perspective. And each of these other quadrants is a higher perspective than victim consciousness. And I just was so appreciating Reverend Michael because he gave me some different ways of looking at victim consciousness and forgiveness, which is one of the things that we teach in the Foundations class. That forgiveness is an important step. If you're resentful or angry, to forgive and let go is a very powerful step in consciousness. Now, people who are coming from a higher state of consciousness are sometimes critical of the idea of forgiveness because they say, if you haven't judged in the first place, there's no need to forgive. But we're in victim consciousness, we are blaming. And what Reverend Michael talks a lot about is blame stories, and that we all know our own blame stories, but we're often not aware of how they run our lives. And what Reverend Michael said is forgiveness is releasing someone else or a situation from the responsibility for your happiness. Does that strike you as powerfully as it struck me? When you blame someone, you are making them responsible for your happiness. Whoa. I don't want to be responsible for anybody else's happiness, and I don't want anyone else to be responsible for mine. So that's entrapment. That's bondage. So if you make your boss responsible for your happiness and blame them for your unhappiness, you are in bondage. If you make your mate or your mother or your child responsible for your unhappiness with blame or resentment or anger, you are not free. So we're talking as we move beyond victimization into higher levels of empowerment and freedom. Allowing ourselves to feel free allows us to feel more fully who we are, and therefore more fulfilled. We're filled with the fullness of who we are. So let me talk a little bit about the science of mind perspective on this idea of moving beyond blame. Yesterday there was a very powerful Abraham Hicks workshop from Atlanta, and we saw it in the live broadcast on the internet, and a bunch of people gathered at my house to watch that. A couple of you are here today. And it was a really powerful workshop for me. And And in many ways, part of the reason it was powerful is that I asked a question rather than just attended the workshop. In my own consciousness, I said, what do I want to know about? And I thought, I want to know more about fulfillment. And Abraham talked about fulfillment all day. And they talked about it in a new way, that fulfillment is connection to source. And that as you find your connection to source and you vibrate the good feelings, you vibrate feeling empowered, you vibrate feeling free, you vibrate feeling love, you vibrate feeling grace, then you allow a grid to be built that's based on your signature vibration. And then law of attraction fills in the details of your life. So you put out the fullness of your being, the feeling of the fullness of your being, and the grid gets filled with surprises and delights and things that are lovely and joyful. If you vibrate in alternate love and hate, empowerment, disempowerment, freedom, bondage, the grid gets filled with a little of all of that. Things to love, things to hate, things that make you feel free, things that make you feel bound. So we have this opportunity to choose how we vibrate, to choose how we feel. And can you feel the huge empowerment of the ability to choose how you feel? I mean, if you don't have to depend on the conditions around you in order to feel good, that's freedom. And Abraham said yesterday, what you do with your mind allows the fullness of who you are to be released within you. Get into alignment and you can be happy anywhere. And they called it unconditional alignment. And that was a new phrase for me. I haven't heard anybody else use that particular phrase. And alignment is the same thing as love, is the same thing as freedom, is the same thing as joy. Unconditional alignment is the deepest connection to source, because you're not dependent on the circumstances. You're not dependent on the freedom coming from someone else. No one else is responsible for your happiness. And there is a very powerful statement that says enlightenment is taking 100% responsibility for your life. So we are letting our light shine. We are enlightened when we're taking responsibility for our own life. Ernest Holmes said in 365 Science of Mind on the October 12th day, there is an eternal springtime in my soul. Always rising but never setting is the sun of my destiny. I refuse to worry about anything. I have complete confidence that God, who is always with me, is able and willing to direct everything that I do, to control my affairs, to lead me into the pathway of peace and happiness. I release every sense of condemnation, either against myself or others. I loose every feeling of animosity. I now understand there is a principle and a presence in every person, gradually drawing that person into the kingdom of God. I know that the kingdom of God is at hand, and I am resolved to enter it, to possess it, and to let it possess me. I have a silent partner within me whose energy is inexhaustible and whose intelligence is without limit. It is life itself. I maintain close communion with my true center, knowing that the Divine Spirit operates through me now. I know I'm not limited by anything that has happened or by anything that is now happening. I am entering into an entirely new set of conditions and circumstances. That which has no limit is flowing through my consciousness into action. And I loved it because in that one page, Ernest took everything that Reverend Michael said and everything that Abraham said and brought it all together. So let me go through some of the things Reverend Michael said that really touched me about moving beyond victim consciousness. First of all, he said, The reason that I want you to look at your blame stories is that science is proving that awareness begins to change everything. Just bringing something into awareness, just observing it, begins to start the creation of a change. And that setting intention accelerates that process. So if you set your intention to allow the fullness of yourself to bloom in your life, and you observe the places where it doesn't, change automatically begins to happen, and you start to move. So that's the basis of what he's saying when he said, look at your blame story, see who you're blaming in your life. And I have to admit, I was being arrogant. I was thinking, nah, I don't live as a victim. I'm empowered. And most of the time I am, but when I really thought about it, I thought, who am I blaming for something, or what circumstances in my past or my childhood or my experience am I blaming for something today? I found a list. What a surprise, you know, there were some places where I wasn't unconditionally aligned. There were a lot of places where I was flowing love easily, but there were some where I was withholding love because of something that had hurt me or something that felt like it was a limit to what I could achieve or accomplish. So Reverend Michael says, people are attached to us when we have a blame story. We are holding them in our energy field. We're essentially dragging them around with us. And Abraham yesterday said, blame does feel better than guilt. You know, blaming yourself feels worse than blaming someone else. But blame doesn't feel better than alignment. So remember that blame, if it feels better than guilt, is a step along the road toward non-judgment and then to alignment and unconditional love. So remember, when we are forgiving, we are releasing someone or some situation for the responsibility for our happiness. We are taking responsibility for ourselves. So as he does this meditation on releasing blame and moving into forgiveness, he says that we should look at that person or that situation and say, that person cannot deny the greatness that is trying to express through me. Whatever that person or that situation is, it cannot deny the greatness that is trying to express through me. Can you feel the excitement about the idea that that greatness is eager to express through you? There is something within you that wants to shine on, that wants to spread light, to radiate love, to be empowered in the world. And then he says, make an inner vow to release your blame through expanded awareness. You are simply becoming aware of what's going on in your subconscious, the thoughts that you think so often they're familiar and they feel okay, even though they really are disempowering. As you bring them into awareness, you can feel that they feel empty. Blame, fear, anger are empty feelings. They're like the opposite of fulfillment. They are what you feel when that energy of source is not fully realized within you in that moment. Abraham was talking to a guest in the Chicago workshop on September 10th. And the guest says to Abraham, you say, you came forth eagerly. But he says, I've had this conflict for 45 years. I don't really want to be here. Well, I love to be here, but I really don't want to be here. And Abraham said, we would put it in different words. What you really want is, I want all of me to be here. I want all of me to be here. It's not that you don't want to be here. It's just that you don't want to be partially here. You don't want to be here in diminished form. You don't want to be here as a less manifest version of who you really are. You want all of you to be here. You want to be experiencing the fulfillment of who you are. And fulfillment is connection to Source. It's power. So Reverend Michael says, say to the one who has hurt you, what you have done cannot determine my destiny. I set you free and I set me free. I release the toxins of animosity and hurt from my own mind and I set myself free. You cannot determine my destiny. That's in my own hands now. I set you free. I forgive you. And Reverend Michael says, you may not be ready to say this next thing, but someday you will be. I set you free, I bless you, and I wish you well. He goes on to say, anyone who has done harm to you is living in limited consciousness, doing the best they can. They are living in the victim place, and so they are striking out because blame feels better than guilt. It makes them feel empowered to be angry. So they feel justified, perhaps, in hurting someone else. But the hidden patterns of victimization that they are experiencing is not your concern. It's the hidden patterns of victimization that you are experiencing and blaming them that you have power over. So you can release those hidden patterns of victimization that inhibit the fullness of your being and disrupt the flow of your creativity. You can release yourself from habitual pity parties and they done me wrong songs. So if there are people in your life that you like to do the misery loves company thing, you might let them go a little more. Relax and release the blame story. Set yourself free and release the hidden splendor shining forth within you. Now, what Reverend Michael said and what Ernest Holmes said is essentially the same thing. They both talked about the toxins of animosity and resentment and how what we do is essentially create poisonous chemistry in our bodies when we live in negative emotion. When we are empowered, we create the chemistry of empowerment in our bodies, which is life-enhancing rather than life-destructive. So when we find that positive emotion within us and we engage our kindness and our caring and our love, we flood our bodies with endorphins instead of adrenaline kinds of substances, and that enhances our healing. It makes us feel good physically as well as emotionally. There's great empowerment in that. The power that Abraham has been talking about is moving into the power of recognizing the fullness of who you are. And this quote from them came from their Alaska cruise in June. You are beginning to recognize that at no time can you separate yourself from the fullness of that which you are. So in every moment there is a juncture where a percentage of you meets a percentage of you. In other words, it can be a powerful, robust moment where the whole of you is being allowed by the physical part of you. Or it can be a moment where it's a little sketchy, where you're pinching off a little of it. Because the whole of you is always focused for you, toward you, really what we must call through you. Because to some extent, who you really are is flowing through you at all times. When you allow it to flow, when you allow the whole of yourself to flow, you feel not just the initial ease or absence of tension of that, but you can focus in such a way that you feel the dynamism of it, you feel the robustness of it, you feel the friskiness of it, you feel the fullness of it. And so those emotions that range from a feeling of well-being, what you might call comfort or contentment, through enthusiasm and passion, that is the range when you are consciously and deliberately allowing that flow. So Siobhan's story about seeing the road sign that had been changed to say notice feelings, and the fact that David synchronistically saw the same road sign in Washington, D.C., is exactly what Abraham's talking about. As we notice our feelings, we are getting the sense of the degree to which the percentage of who we locally are matches the percentage, 100%, of the infinite, eternal, non-local part of ourselves that's all-knowing, that's completely capable, that's utterly empowered. And we want to lean in that direction. Now, sometimes we get out of it, and we feel like a victim. And it's not a question of never doing that. Chances are we're going to run up against somebody or something that's going to push our buttons one day, maybe occasionally, maybe often. But when it happens, we need to know what to do with it. And the first thing we need to know not to do is beat ourselves up for doing it, because they call it the metaphysical sledgehammer. When you say, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this, I hate myself for doing that, and you feel guilty about it, you take yourself way down to the place where blame's going to feel better than that guilt. So you don't want to take yourself down for doing it. So how can you learn to be aware with non-judgment? That becomes the question. You set your intention to be aware and stay in that place of unconditional love, unconditional alignment, feeling the fullness of who you are, where you can simply let go of the blame, notice, and make a choice. Because in making the choice, in directing your feelings, you are empowered. When I was meditating on this, the line that came to me about it is, everyone we meet is an opportunity for love and a catalyst for expansion. Sometimes I'm really good at either loving or recognizing the catalyst for expansion. To be in the both and space of that sometimes takes me a little longer. Some places are obviously catalysts for expansion, but not quite so much love initially. But working my way back into the place where I can be unconditionally aligned, where I can love unconditionally, and recognize, oh yeah, that situation or that person is just caught up in those hidden beliefs, those disempowering emotions that creates the problem. So Abraham yesterday said, you're not here to figure it out and return to source. You are here so source can be here now and revel with you. And when we feel that fulfillment, that fullness of our being, that source delighting in being us, that source as us living in the fullness of who we are. So we learn to tune ourselves to source on purpose, rather than looking to other people or other things for our fulfillment. We don't have to look outside ourselves. We are aligning to the genius that is the truth of our being. Yesterday, one of the guests said, I want to love as I know I am capable of loving. What a powerful intention that is, to be willing to love as we are capable of loving, to be willing to feel the fullness of our being, to build that grid from the loving place so that law of attraction can fill it in with all of the details of a lovely life where we're loving and lovable and beloved, where we know we are adored by source and we are allowed to spread that love around in the world. That's how we shine on. And it is my intention to shine on more powerfully, to release the blame stories when I notice them, grateful that I've noticed them, aware that they're a guidance pointing me back toward my alignment with Source. So loving myself unconditionally and moving into unconditional alignment is my new intention and purpose. And I invite you to join me in empowerment. Thanks.